Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to continue on this series, The Cost of Discipleship. Tell me when you find Matthew chapter 8. And if you need a Bible, there's probably one in front of you there. I say you can use your phone, but if you use your phone, try not to surf the internet while you're listening to the message. Starting with verse 19. And a certain scribe came to him saying, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Verse 20. And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Then another disciple came to him and said, "Lord, let me go bury my father." But Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." When it comes to the cost of discipleship, Jesus gives us the model. I'm going to believe that he laid down his life for us. If you'll notice that when he said, "Hey, if you're going to follow me, there's a cost to that." Now truly, listen, salvation was a free gift, but following him, do you want to be his disciple? All of us in here are selfish by nature. There isn't one person in this room that is sinless. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God's eternal life. So there becomes a place in our hearts where we need to change. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. In fact, the matter is, some of you will say you've been the chiefest among sinners. But when it comes to discipleship, we have to follow the Lord. And if we're following him, we won't fall in the ditch. If man just leads you, you will fall, you will fail. But God says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." If we follow him, you know what? It's a secure path. It's a narrow path, but it's well traveled. When it comes to life, there are sometimes you're faced with decisions that it's far greater than you can muster. But yet the Lord will be with you. Some of you have had medical challenges where it's like, man, you've got to have a miracle done. Or the Lord, you're going home to be with him. Truly, when you get to those situations, it's like, man, what really matters in life? In verse 19, it says this, "Then a certain scribe came to him saying, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Notice following Jesus. This gentleman comes up and says, "Hey, I'm going to follow you wherever you go." I'm going to begin to break these down. When I begin to search the scriptures, I look at it this way. There's carnal incitement, but it doesn't last long. It's like, "Yeah, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Yeah, yeah." It's like bottle rocket Christianity. It lights up and it's just screaming all the way up, and then all of a sudden, poof, and then it dissipates. Jesus is going to look at each one and say, "You know what? You want to follow me?" Then it can't be just carnal excitement. It can't be just because what's on the marquee that day, I'm excited about that. Too long we have to look at our own hearts and say, "Do you really want to follow him?" Come on, look at verse 20. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." When I begin to break this down, I begin to find this out. Foxes have holes. That means this. It refers to being cunning. Birds of the air means this. It means it's flighty or unreliable. Jesus is looking at him saying, "You know what? Listen, you can be cunning in your own ways or you can be unreliable. But neither one's going to follow me." That means if you're going to follow him, you need to be reliable. Yes or no? Living for Christ isn't just like something you do and just say, "Hey, I'm not going to do it anymore." That's not a disciple. And the world will see if we're serious about our faith. People will see, "Hey, listen to me. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." If you'll notice, those who serve the Lord, listen to me, have a great life. I'm not saying free from problems, but you have a great life. You begin to realize that this is the life to live. But there's a cost to that. We have to say, you know, we can't be flighty either. When people look at Christians, they should see solid people. Not that we're perfect, but we're not goofy either. Amen. How many of you can't follow something that's goofy? Come on, we need to hold ourselves, you know, and have a standard of righteousness. I'm not saying that we have to be perfected in this flesh, but you know what? I want to be able to handle myself appropriately. Amen. If somebody asks me a question about my faith, I should have an answer for my faith. You know, if I don't know that answer that moment, I'm honest enough to say, "I'll get back with you on that." I can search the scriptures and find that out. We should have a good basis for our understanding. When somebody hears that you're a Christian, that should mean something. Say amen. When we become unreliable, you know what Jesus is saying? Hey, listen, birds of the air, they have their own places. Foxes, they have holes. Will you be that? I see you coming to me, but I see it's a carnal excitement. It's like, are you really going to be reliable with this? A disciple will be one that say, you know what? I'm going to put my hands to the plow and what? Not look back. Now, I've done some real plowing with real ground. Back then, we didn't like have oxen and all that, horses pulling it. We had tractors. Thank God for tractors. But I noticed that if I didn't keep myself positioned to where I was going and watching what was happening, I could miss. And you're looking to turn the ground over to get it prepared for the next area. If you're plowing for the Lord and you're not paying attention, you're just looking back, you'll go offline. And generally, you'll destroy some crops that have been already planted. Dare I say, you may even wreck some other people's lives by your actions. Oh, I can preach that. You got to keep straight. You got to keep to your goal. All of us have areas in our heart that needs to be turned over. Say amen. Look at verse 20. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's saying this, there's a voluntary poverty that I'm walking in. Jesus showed his life that, listen to me, nothing is holding me back from living. How much Jesus could have had the greatest palace in the world? Yes or no? He could have had anything he wanted, but he's saying, you know what? I'm living my life totally for you. I'm laying down my life. Now, that doesn't mean he was broke either. Because if you can take care of 12 guys traveling with you every day, how many think that's a pretty good food budget? Yes or no? So it wasn't like he was broke. In fact, the matter is, he told Peter, well, we have to pay some taxes. Why don't you go fish? There's a coin that you're going to grab, pay for mine and yours. So he was making some revenue. Say amen. But the truth is, I have no particular dwelling place. I'm living my life to this and saying, I'm going to live all out because I'm following my Father. Because I know I'm only here for a short time. Come on. I'm here for a short time and I'm going back to my Father, which I have a mansion that's unbelievable. I'm so thankful that he emptied of himself and took on flesh. Amen. Look at verse 21. Then another disciple came to him, Lord, first go, let me bury my father. And Jesus made a statement. Now, it seems to be kind of mean. He says, let the dead bury the dead. In face value, you'd say, man, doesn't the Lord care about somebody just died? I'm here to tell you he does. But it's just another excuse. He's already died. Listen to me, it's important to bury your family. He's not even negating that. But how many of us, I just bought a boat. I just got a new house. How many of us, you can hold any of them more important than following him? Oh, it's kind of quiet in here. Listen, what comes out is still an excuse. Good, okay. Is that going to keep you from following Jesus because you lost somebody? I'm sorry you have, but it shouldn't. If you live long enough, you will bury a loved one. And I feel so bad if you outlive your kids, or your kids, I say amen. How many knows no parent should bury their children? But it does happen, but no one should. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. How about this? Let the spiritually dead bury those that are dead. How many knows Jesus, you always got to go back to his characters when he's speaking. In the Jewish culture, it was the duty of the sons to bury their parents. Genesis 25:9 and Genesis 35:9. Jesus recognizes, but he's addressing the hesitation. Are you going to follow me? First of all, we can come with carnal excitement, but we're flighty, we're doing all this. But what about the hesitation? I wonder how many people will miss it because, you know what? I don't want to do it right now. I got time. I would, but you know what? I got things to do. And here's the next thing. Don't let your prosperity keep you from serving God either. Because you'll exchange a temporal for eternal. Come on. A lot of people have done that. But how many times have we hesitated? You know what? I'm going to follow you, but Lord, I got to go do this first. What's more important? We're talking about the King of Kings. Jesus is saying, hey, follow me. And each one saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but. Come on. Notice to follow Jesus, we can't hesitate. The spiritually dead will bury those. But the kingdom of God is urgent. And those that want to serve him must follow him. The duty of the Christian in the family of God is more important than temporal things in this planet. Now you have to see who's asking you to follow him. Jesus. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Who's making the declaration? The Lord himself. Is there anyone higher than him? So it isn't like you're following a man. He's saying, follow me. If you're going to be my disciple, follow me. Notice that goes above all that. He is the hierarchy. He is the king. And those who lay down their life become something great. And here's a true fact. Whenever I sacrifice any time, the Lord always makes it up. Amen. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't do it. He will be indebted to no man. Give and it shall be given. The highest duties we can ever have is when the master calls. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Flip over a few pages. Luke 9, starting with verse 59. I want to pick this up again. Luke 9, verse 59. Tell me when you got it. Then he said, follow me. And then another one said, follow me. And then he said, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Then Jesus said, let the dead bury their own, but you go and preach the gospel. Notice, let the dead bury the dead, but you go do the work of an evangelist. He's saying, listen to me, it's important that you step out of this situation. If you hesitate, you're going to lose. And generally, the opportunity moves on. As a pastor, I've been at the bedside of many who've passed on from this life to the next. I've seen some glorious things happen, and I've also seen some things where people have still said, no, I don't want him. One of the greatest things ever I've seen happen in people's lives is, I got time. When you're looking to breathe your last, I guarantee it, you're looking just to breathe another thing, breathe another breath. If you've had a whole life, and all of a sudden now, poof, here we go, generally I've seen people go the other way. While you have today, today's the salvation. Can God do it? Yes. He can save you at that moment. There's no doubt about it. But why did you hesitate already? Jesus said, you're going to follow me? Then there shouldn't be hesitation. Whatever the reason is, don't hesitate. Come on. When I look at Jesus, we have that hope in him. But if we postpone that area, listen, we permit other things to take preeminence. And when we do, we'll miss out. When Jesus said, follow me, one must unconditionally leave all. When he was speaking to the Jews, listen to me, the Nazarites had this vow. They were not permitted to touch anything that was dead, even when it comes to their own families. Numbers 6, verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 60, Luke 9, 60. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go preach the gospel, leaving dead things alone and enjoying preaching the gospel. The duty is this. It's a handful of dust doesn't compare to mankind himself. That person is passed on now. Do you know I've seen when people lose somebody, they can slip into depression. How many agree with me there? It's a real emotion. There's no doubt about it. But we can't let depression hold us back. Come on, that person has passed on. You can't change that situation. But what about those who are alive and remain? What about those that are still here? We mourn those, we miss those, but Jesus said, why are you hesitating? Whatever the reason is, why are you hesitating? If we're not about our Father's business, we're probably in our own business and end up in monkey business. Verse 61. Then another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me bid my family goodbye. But Jesus said, no one putting his hand to the plow looks back and is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is making a statement. If you're going to follow me, it must be an undivided devotion. Now, remember when Elijah was called? He called him out and says, you know what? He was plowing in the field. And you know, he said, follow me. He ended up killing all his oxen, burning that, and followed. Jesus uses this example in 1 Kings 19 and 19. He found Elisha and he passed by him and he threw his mantle over him. He took all his stuff and burned it and followed and arose. Just like today, when Jesus said, "Follow me," we need to have undivided attention. I'm going to follow him. It's a privilege to be called by the Master. Think about all the people that he has called. Many are called, but few are chosen. How many said we need to follow him? None of us will have an excuse, say, "Lord, thank you." No, the gospel is being preached around the world today. Will we respond? Will we become obedient to it? That's for every man or woman in here, every young person that's in here. We have to say, as for me and my house, I'm going to follow him. I've been called. What am I doing with the call? Am I being flighty with it that I don't care about it? Am I hesitating or am I undivided? When you're divided in your heart, how many knows you'll pick usually not the Lord? It's amazing to me how that sin nature kicks in and we start to do things we shouldn't. Some things we've been set free from, we go back to. See, God is good. To follow Jesus, we must have a right consideration. We must be courageous about our decisions. Say, you know what, I'm going to follow him. You know, and God's not going to, if you follow the Lord, he's not going to say move to another country, marry somebody you're going to hate, and you know, your life will be miserable. Now, he may prompt you to move to another country. You may marry somebody when you get there. But you know what? You're going to enjoy the journey. Come on. Parents in here, how many want great things for your kids? Yeah. Let me see your hand. If you want great things for your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father, who's much greater than us, want it for us? He knows how to fulfill your life. He knows what you like. He knows how to work in your heart. But will you consider him? Picture Jesus coming into service today and says, "Follow me." I wonder how many jump up and say, "Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah," I get emotional with it. And then he starts to speak into that. You can't be flighty with this. You can't be cunning in your own way. Or how about this? "Lord, first of all, I got to go do this." How about this? "Lord, put a divine delay on this. My agenda is a little more important than yours, so why don't you just hang out here at the store and I'll come back." See, we have to look and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to make him wait for me. He's seeking to save me already. He's already went after me. He deserves more than that. When he says, "Follow me," okay, I'm going to follow you. Oh, that's good preaching today. Look at verse 62. And Jesus said, "No one." Say no one. That means no one. That means every single person, having put his hands in the plow, look back in his fit. When you put your hand to that plow, we need to be fruitful. But if we don't put our whole heart in it, we become unfruitful. Because sometimes it gets tiring when you're plowing. But you just can't look at the effort. You've got to look at what's going to happen after the field is ready. Then it's ripe unto harvest. Sometimes we've got to plow some areas in our own hearts. Turn that stuff over. We don't know how far we've fallen into sin until we start to bring the restoration process. I'm here to tell you, even your body will get tired. You want to be awesome? Pray for a couple hours. See if you don't get tired. How many ever said, "I'm going to have a great time in prayer"? Prayer cures all insomnia, I guarantee it. Sometimes you got to make yourself uncomfortable so you don't fall asleep. Oh, nobody in here. You're all perfect. Amen? Whenever I fast instantly, I can smell food a mile away. But if we're melancholy in our temperament, listen to me. We won't even have that life that God's promised. Or this, we have gloomy images of death. We're never going to accomplish much. Today I see society so fixated on death, like The Walking Dead. I've never watched a show. I don't want to see dead people who think they're alive. I'm serious. We're so fixated on that. Where's the life in that? When we choose him, we choose life. We should never hesitate with it. It's like saying, "Lord, I'll follow you, but..." Jesus is coming against every excuse. This one here, it's like, "Well, this one's a worthy one. Let me go bury my father." He's already dead. It's past tense. "Well, let me go take care of this situation." Or, "Lord, first I got to get married first before our Savior. First, I got to have children. First, I got to get this. How many knows it's another thing? And he's worthy of an instant response. Today's the day of salvation. I never want to think I'm all that to make the Lord wait. Say amen. We're talking about disciples here. He says, those who follow him. Listen to me, it needs to be instantaneous. Notice to look back. It's harder to plow backwards. The example is this. In 2 Peter 2:22, this happened according to the true proverb, a dog who returns to his own vomit. It's like, man, you turn back to that area. In Luke 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. God said, when you come out of the city, I'm going to burn this city with fire. Do not look back. And what did she do? She looked back, and that was the end. Looking back isn't there. What's there anyways? Picture the master, Jesus, saying, come follow me. And there's a step of faith with that. You know what's in the world. Is that more attractive than me? If it is, then how can you be my disciple? I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I never want to exchange his road for my own road. Amen? I look at some characteristics of this. I'm going to ask you, are you easily irritable or easily angered? Are you more self-confident and more hopeful in self? Do you have a gloomy state of mind and prolonged, maybe you're melancholy? Are you more excited or in actions or display in your emotions? All these are part of our makeup, but each one needs to be in balance. Because I've seen people get mad at the Lord and not serve him. What did he ever do wrong? I've seen people get so exuberant they forgot who they're even serving. I've seen some people do more things for flesh. Look at me. That's what I appreciate about our worship team. It's not about me. I just want to sing for him. But I've seen it when it becomes more of a spectacle or a concert, or I'm the only one that's anointed here. Since when did you get all the anointing? And here's the truth, since you opened your mouth, it all leaked out. Oh. We have to follow him. Each area we need to bring in that. Picture Jesus now. Picture the first guy going, man, how bold of you to say that. I mean, he wasn't looking to make him mad. He's coming right to the issue. Your issue is this. And I'm speaking to it. Come on, Jesus speaks to our issue. Sometimes we need to take a good rebuke from the Lord as a loving, listen to me, compliment. And if you never get convicted by the Holy Spirit, listen, you need to be in a church that brings it. Because woe unto us if we're left to ourselves. I'm going to tell you, in this church, there's going to be some conviction. Not because I'm all that, but because the Holy Spirit wants us to change. I go over these messages just like you're hearing it. In fact, I get more undone because I got to preach it. It's like, what will your excuses hold? Will you follow me? Is it just carnal excitement? Are you being flighty about your life? Or are you hesitating and making me wait for you? Lord, I don't want to make any wait at all. Here I am. Let's fast forward 100 plus years for all of us. We're all in glory. How many will be glad to say, I followed him? Amen? I wasn't unresolved. I wasn't wandering. The master requires entire devotion. The spiritually dead commit their care to the lifeless dust. But that's not us. No hasty steps are taken. The master requires earnest consideration. I'm following him. When you make that, you know what? Nothing will defeat you. Anyone who lays down their life for the Lord has made a decision. It becomes, listen to me, courageous. But if we're melancholy in our resolution, we'll soon depart from that. Lord, I'm going to follow you all out. Is this good this morning? I'm going to follow him. This is the cost of discipleship. We can't be over, like, hasty. We can't be heavy-hearted. We can't be in indecision. The divine call must be received and not conferred with flesh and blood. You can't say, well, should I follow the Lord or not? No, you should say, I'm following him. I love that about the Apostle Paul. When God touched him, He said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood concerning this matter. But the Lord came and touched. And later I found the disciples. We also need to have that time alone with him and accept that God is calling. Some of you have a calling on your life. The Lord's spoken to you. Follow me. Listen to me. When you say yes to that, God will reveal himself to you. But what excuses are we holding up? I'm here to say every excuse has to go to the foot of the cross. Now picture Jesus looking at each one with love. Spoke the truth in love. I bet he wants each one of them to go, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with this. I don't have time today, but I'll get into this next week. It said many ceased to follow him because he said hard things. Can you imagine Jesus watching people walk away, knowing that he's the only way? Knowing that if they forsake him, you'll have a life separate from God. Do you know how much pain that must have brought him? Knowing that he knows the truth. He is the truth. Then he looks at his disciple and say, will you leave also? And thank God they were smart enough to go, no, Lord, you're the only one to have words of life. That's a good statement to make. Lord, you're the only one to have words of life. We need to follow him. If you follow him, your life will be complete. He'll reveal himself to you. And believe me, you'll be able to accomplish more than you ever could on your own. He'll make your life what God wants it to be. And at the end, we all want to hear this. Well done. Good and faithful what? Notice not Lord. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. That means your life counted. You took the discipleship process serious. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Sometimes you have to be courageous with that. I've seen people be cunning in their own abilities. I've seen them speak things like it sounds good, but it's not really Lord. I've seen people be flighty and all of a sudden like, yeah, it's like, oh, that's woo. And then soon you're not even serving anymore. How about hesitation? What excuses are we holding up? None of them really will hold water. And Jesus made it real clear. Here's a big one. Is this holding you back? What holds us back, church? I'm here to say nothing should. Now picture Jesus in service today. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and your life will be what it always needs to be. In the natural, I can see the whole congregation responding. But what if he knew everybody's heart? See, when these gentlemen came up, he knew what was in their heart. And he always speaks to that area. That's where the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets down to where we live. And if we can respond and say, Lord, you're hitting me where I live, I'm still saying yes. Each person could have been unbelievable in the kingdom. How many want to be that, church? Then we have to wrestle with what we deal with. How many want to live your life not like a bottle rocket Christianity, not just emotional hearers? I'm going to serve him. Let me see your hand this morning. Okay? Secondly here is how many of you don't want to have that area where it's like, man, I'm half-hearted. I'm indecision. I'm whatever. How many want to live courageous and all out? Amen? How many want to live without excuses? Lord, let me do this. I'm with you, church. I want to be that person. But it takes decision. It must be something that each one of us make to the Lord. You can do it in a crowd, and that's great, but you have to do it, you and the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to take that plow, and I'm going to keep looking forward. Because I remember Lot's wife. I'm going to keep looking forward. That way, my life will be what it needs to. Here's the next thing. It will turn over soil in your hearts that you always needed to have turned over. So new seed of righteousness can be planted there. You're not mixing your seed with weeds. And you wonder why there's no harvest. Oh, I was good preaching. My life centered on Christ will not ruin somebody else's life. I won't plow up their good works. Hallelujah. Count the cost. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. As for me and this church, we're serving the Lord. No matter how it gets in the world, we're serving our God. If they tell me I can't preach the gospel anymore, I'm sorry, I'm going to still do it. I publicly confess that. If they say, well, we're going to put you in prison or jail, then good, come visit me. We'll start another prison ministry. Say amen. And I believe this with all my heart. If somebody told you you're not going, you'd find a way to go. I can jump the fence next door, park my car over there, I can be there in no time. Persecution has never hurt the church. Yes, there seems to be blows taken, but it's always promoted the kingdom of God because God shows up. I'll be with you. You can't squelch me out. You can't put me away. You can't kill me off because I'm alive forevermore. And my servants will serve me no matter what happens. I've seen sometimes when things get tough, there's a resolve that comes in. That nature comes alive. I'm going to serve my God. Sometimes when we're at ease, everything's this way, we kind of get sidetracked. I believe the Lord's saying, come on back, church. Come on. Put away the excuses. Put away the apathy. Put away that flightiness. It's time to serve me with your whole heart. If you'll do, you'll overcome all things. Amen. Enjoy this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you. Now I'm going to ask you, church, to be honest with the Lord. To put away every excuse. Put away every hesitation. Put away everything emotional, hearers only. Say, no, I'm going to make a consecrated decision and follow my God. As we close here this morning, maybe you're here this morning, you never let the Lord Jesus in your life. Today's the day and now's the time. You can ask him, Jesus, come into my life and save me. He'll do just that. He's not far from any one of us. For some of you, maybe you've been serving him for a while, but he came to his disciple, said, follow me. Maybe it's been a distant place. Or maybe you've allowed emotions or anger or a heavy heart to keep you from going wholeheartedly. Let it go. It's time to serve him wholeheartedly. And he'll meet you. Church, I want you to pray this with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, everyone in here, Lord Jesus, today I decide by my will to serve you, to walk after you. Lord Jesus, forgive me of every trespass, of every sin that I've decided from my heart to go all out after you. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, of every sin. And now I declare you Lord of my life. I'm going to be your disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you this morning. God is good. We're going to continue on this cost of discipleship. I believe it's important for us to continue a reminder. I'm going to serve him. Amen. If you would lift your hands, I want to bless you this morning. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power and bring us back on that appointed day, filled, strengthened. And Lord, we determine to serve you and follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. Thank you for your time this morning. Have a great week.